Today is the feast of Corpus Christi, and the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, I myself have received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner, also the cup, after he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you shall proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily without distinguishing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment to himself." Please stand for the gospel. The gospel for today's feast is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 56 to 59. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and as I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and died, he who eats this bread shall live forever." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In the 13th century, there was a little orphan girl who was living in Belgium. And at the age of 5, she wasn't able to provide for herself, so she was sent to a convent. At the age of 13, she joined that convent as a nun. And she lived a life of great holiness, rapidly advancing in her devotion, especially to our Lord, his Blessed Mother, and to the Most Holy Eucharist. We know this woman today as Blessed Juliana. And she was blessed with many visions from our Lord. And in these visions, she was shown an image of the moon. And this moon was entirely bright, except for one spot, one band of darkness. And she understood by this image that God was telling her the liturgical year was incomplete. There was one very important omission from the liturgy. Our Lord was asking her to spread the word of the necessity of this feast that we celebrate today, the Feast of Corpus Christi. And his request was answered. Years later, under the reign of Pope Urban IV, the Mass was commissioned I won't get into all the details of what took place in the composition of this Mass, except to say, as you well know, this Mass was composed by the angelic doctor himself, St. Thomas Aquinas. And it was promulgated to the world in 1264. If you are among the Catholics that neglect their missal and don't pay a great deal of attention to the texts of the Mass, this would be a day to put that bad habit aside. Because with the composition of this Mass, the compilation of the scriptural passages and the composition of the sequence and so on, I don't know if you could find a better and more beautifully sublime combination of the exactitude of that scholastic school of philosophy in its theological teaching combined with poetic beauty. If you look at the sequence for this Mass, or the Pange Lingua, which is sung during the procession, if you read through it, it's almost like a catechism. It's just telling you one detail of this dogma after another in a beauty to match the doctrine. But all that aside, why was this feast necessary? Perhaps you heard from our Father Superior a couple weeks ago. He spoke about the celebration of the Eucharist, the institution of the Eucharist, on Holy Thursday. If we already celebrate the Holy Eucharist on that day, why do we need another feast? As he explained, there are two aspects to this sacrament. Remember, it is a sacrament and a sacrifice. So on this day, Holy Thursday, on the night when Christ was betrayed, as St. Paul says in the epistle for today, he instituted this great gift for us. But we cannot help but be focused on the sacrificial nature of this sacrament on the day when Christ began his passion. So we needed today a day where our joy and praise and celebration is unmitigated. It's not held back in any way. We contemplate the sacrament as the greatest gift. That's why we have today. Because this sacrament is so central to our faith, central to the other sacraments, that all exist simply to lead us to the sacrament of the Eucharist, or they proceed from it in the graces they offer. The priesthood exists for this day, for this feast, this sacrament. I've heard countless times our Father Superior speak to potential vocations. And he asks them, why do you want to become a priest? And he might receive a variety of answers. I want to be a priest because it's the closest I can be to God. I want to be a priest to save souls and to help people. I want to be a priest to teach the faith. And as our Father Superior makes clear, all those reasons are insufficient. You could do all those things as a layman. Teach the faith, bring souls to heaven, give a good example, grow closer to God. You could do it as a religious brother, But why a priest? There's only one reason for the priesthood, and he's resting in the tabernacle right now. The Blessed Sacrament of the altar. So this feast is necessary. And even this day. Why was this day chosen? Because you see, as the liturgical year progresses, we're following Christ. We prepare for his birth through Advent. We follow him through his infancy and then through his public life, all the way to his death, burial, resurrection, ascension into heaven. And we're following in his footsteps the entire time. And then we reach the Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descends on the church and the church begins to proliferate throughout the world. So now we're in the time after Pentecost. That time that follows the spread of the church and instructs us, because our own day is reflected in that liturgical time, awaiting with hope the second coming of Christ. So what does the church do? Immediately after Pentecost, the very first Sunday following the Feast of Pentecost, we have our goal set before us. We have the Feast of the Most Blessed Trinity. That's the end in view. So now that our eyes are fixed on that goal, what good is it to us if we can't achieve it? There's nothing that we can do, naturally speaking, to win that reward of heaven. And so the Thursday following that feast, the church gives us the means. On this day. We have sworn off the world, renewing our baptismal vows on Easter. Do you renounce Satan? I do renounce him and all his pomps. I do renounce him and all his works and so on. We renounce the world. We've given it up. Led out of the captivity of the pagan world, just as the Jews were, the Israelites, from their captivity in Egypt. They're led through the Red Sea. They washed away all the enemies that sought to destroy them, just as we are washed in the waters of baptism. And now we have our goal in the Promised Land, the possession of God, the Blessed Trinity, and that beatific vision in heaven. But not yet. We still have our long journey through the desert. And that's where we are now in the liturgical year and in our own day. We're in the desert. And the devil will try to pull us back. He'll try to create that burning desire in us to long for that slavery once again. Go back to the slavery of our vices, our worldly life, the flesh pots of Egypt. So he sustains us with this manna. The bread of heaven, panis angelicus, bread of the angels. We are still at risk of becoming complacent when it comes to this sacrament, taking it for granted, even begrudging the fact that we have to come to Mass. God forbid that should happen. We'll suffer the same fate as the Israelites, who are not permitted to enter the Promised Land. So that's why we have this day. To reignite our love of this sacrament. Our love for the sacrament of love. Remember that not only do we receive the other sacraments from this sacrament, the other graces from this source of grace, the priesthood itself, but we receive the union of the mystical body from this sacrament. St. Paul says, "For we, being many, are one bread, one body, all partaking of one bread." Just like the many grains of wheat that are ground and combined to make this host. In uniting with Christ in this sacrament, we unite with one another. That is the bond of the mystical body of Christ. Everything that rises must converge. And so as we are on this journey through life, we know that if we are going to achieve this final end and the possession of God in heaven, we know that we cannot achieve this, from Christ's own words, without Him, without Christ Himself. No one goes to the Father except through me. And so He condescends to give Himself to us here and now. If you look at the gradual and alleluia for this Mass, right before the sequence, it says, "The eyes of all are on you, and you will distribute food to them in due season." All creation, every creature is created for a purpose, created for an end. And this innate desire to fulfill this end and find in it happiness, joy, can even be found in the brute animals, irrational animals. They've been given instinct and they fulfill it to be happy. In feeding themselves and drinking and storing food and protecting their young and so on. And by their own natural power, they're able to complete that end. As it is with every creature here on earth, except for one. One of God's creatures here on earth is incapable of reaching his end by his own natural abilities, own natural powers. That's man. He put a desire in the hearts of man for the eternal, for the infinite. So he can use his faculties and his powers to the best of his ability. He can achieve great things, apparently. Great wealth and power and popularity. But not happiness. That will not be counted among his achievements. Because what he longs for, he cannot find here on earth. He longs for something everlasting. You've heard the famous story of Napoleon Bonaparte. He had many great achievements in his great empire, many triumphs and victories and so on. And he was asked, "What is your happiest day? What was your happiest day of your life?" And he said, "It was my first communion day." He said, "I was close to God that day." Because that was ultimately what he desired. But it wasn't what he sought. And so this desire that's burning in us, insatiable desire, cannot be satisfied here on earth, despite where we might look for it. And oftentimes when we can't find it anywhere here on earth, then we just drown out this desire with alcohol or whatever it might be. We despair of achieving it. But when we look in the correct place, when we keep our eye fixed on that goal, unwavering, our Lord has rewarded us by bringing heaven to earth. So even before the day God calls us, He calls us in a little way on a day like this. One spiritual writer put it this way: "The Holy Spirit wills that man should, after this present life, be a partaker of the very life of God by the face-to-face vision of the divine essence. Nay, the present life of the children of Adam here on this earth is to put on by anticipation the dignity of that higher life. And this so literally that the future one in heaven is to be but the direct sequel, the consequent outgrowth of the one led here below." And this is how we begin to live in heaven here on earth, by our union with Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. So at this Mass, He's calling us. He's calling us to the communion rail. He's calling us to fall on our knees. He's calling us to enjoy a taste of heaven right here. May God bless you.